Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. We have a really great show planned for today, but before we dive into the nitty-gritty, I want to let you know about a few great opportunities for anyone looking to get involved in show business. Huntley's Got Talent Community Variety Show is accepting video auditions through December 31st. Singers, dancers, instrumentalists, magicians, stand-up comics, and other performers are invited to submit a video audition to the Rotary Club of Huntley via email at huntleyrotary@yahoo.com. The talent show is open to both students and adults and will take place January 18th at the Huntley High School Performing Arts Center. Again, the email address to submit your audition is huntleyrotary@yahoo.com. Another opportunity for its Showtime listeners involves the film world. Michael Emery, who starred in the television series Blue Bloods, is involved in the short film The New Venture. It is a great comedic script that has some fantastic talent attached. If you are interested in learning more about some exciting producer opportunities on the film, go to my webpage, travoltanet.com. You'll find information on becoming an assistant, associate, or executive producer on a real film with name talent. You aren't going to want to miss out on this opportunity, so be sure to visit travoltanet.com for information. Now, on with the show. As a part of It's Showtime's new Grow with a Pro educational series, today I'm being joined in the studio by acclaimed theatrical director Gina Belt Daniels. We'll be talking about what you can do to become a great director yourself. We'll also be providing insight into what directors are looking for when they cast a show and how you can stand out from the pack. Gina, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, let's dive right into it. What are some of the qualities that make a good director?
First of all, you have to have passion for the show that you're involved with. You have to be very dedicated to the show. You have to have time for research. You have to have commitment for rehearsals. You have to have the ability to listen to the actors and your production team. You have to be a risk taker, and you have to develop very thick skin because you're going to most notably be dealing with boards and also reviewers. You have to have the ability to communicate, to be direct, to be honest with your actors and your production team. I think probably what's really important is you have to know that you're not always right, that you may not always have the best idea. And yes, you do have to go in with a blueprint, but you also have to know that that blueprint may change and you might have to throw it away.
Oh, wow. That is a great insight. Now, you have extensive acting background as well, in addition to your directing experience. Does it help for a director to have worn the actor's hat as well?
I think definitely, because you know the fears and the concerns, you know what's going to happen on the stage. I never ask an actor to do anything that I wouldn't do or that I wouldn't be comfortable with. For example, like costuming seems to be a big problem. And if I feel that an actor's not comfortable in that costume, we'll change the costume. And also, I think, you know, as an actor, if you're allowed to experiment, if you have a director that listens to you, that helps the whole development of the character. And I think because I was an actor, and also because I did work with good directors who allowed me that opportunity, I think that really helped me with my directing, too, because I think I understand what it means to be on stage.
Yeah, and I think that really comes through in all the shows that I've seen you direct. The actors really come through that they're in. They've been a part of the process. They weren't just told what to do. They developed the characters with you.
Mm-hmm. I will not hand an actor the character on a silver plate. I won't say, this is the way you do it. This is the way that you say the lines. I've been in shows where directors have done that. And, you know, it shows. It shows in the quality of the show.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Now, some directors come in with a really big concept, and then they go about the process of creating the little moments to flesh out the show. Now, some other directors go in focusing on the little individual moments of the script and then through that coming up with the big picture. What's your process like?
I think I see the big picture, and I'm always focused on the outcome. I have a vision when I go in, obviously, but I also have a responsibility. I have to be loyal to the playwright and also to the audience. And I really like what Rian Johnson said. He's the director of Knives Out, the new movie. And he had a quote that I'd like to say. He said that the writer is the general in the war room and the director is the one down in the trenches with the troops.
Nice.
But because I think I listen to the actors, I change moments and things. So yeah, I do go in with this big vision, this big picture, but I'm also, I think, flexible enough, knock on wood, that I can change things. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Sure,
okay,
sure.
Good.
Now, what is the first thing that you do when you are hired to direct a show?
I tell all my friends and my family. Well, I've already done all my research. So the most immediate thing that I want to do is meet with my production team. And hopefully there is a production team. A lot of times I've had to go in and suggest people that I would like to work with. Sometimes, you know, a board has already hired a production team. So hopefully they're the people that I like and can get along with and have discussions with. So.
Is that difficult, having a board select a production team before you're even in the position so you don't really know who you're going to work with?
Sometimes, yeah. And sometimes because, you know, I may not have seen their work or I don't know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, I've met some incredibly talented new people that I probably, you know, I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And thank heavens that the board had hired them. So.
Yeah. Now, when you go about working on a show, how do you work with an actor to develop their character?
I should ask you that since you were in one of my shows. Well, of course, we discuss general information. I always ask them to read the script before, you know, before you come to auditions, if you read the script, you get 10 points in my, you know, in my opinion. And I always ask them to give me their perception of that character. I do homework. I ask them things like, you know, give me 5 adjectives that describe your character, or develop a backstory, or tell me about your relationships with the other characters in the script. I also ask that they do not watch any video or movie of the show, because that gives you an unconscious setting in your mind. I mean, I'm guilty of that, too. I like to go see what other directors have done with the show that I'm directing. And sometimes I go, oh, that's a great idea. Maybe I can use it. Or I go, oh, why did they do that? I'm going to avoid that. So, but I always ask my actors not to do that.
Yeah, I think when it comes to actors, it's watching a film puts you in a position of doing an imitation,
right,
as opposed to an interpretation.
Right. When I did It's a Wonderful Life, my character that was playing the George Bailey, I was so afraid that he was going to go watch Jimmy Stewart and try and do a Jimmy Stewart imitation. And that was the very first thing that I said to him, you're not doing Jimmy Stewart. I don't even want to hear anything closely resembling that. And I know that the audience probably came in expecting that too, but he was brilliant. It was Matt. And he just... he did his own thing, and, you know, the audience forgot about Jimmy Stewart. I forgot about Jimmy Stewart. So.
Yeah, that was a great show.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, we've talked about working with an actor individually to develop a character. What about combinations of characters? How do you foster actors to develop the relationships between the characters?
Between the other actors?
Yeah, like a husband and wife character team.
Well, that's good. During read-through, I always have the actors talk about themselves, so their normal life. And then, you know, we do warm-ups. I do improv things. I do, you know, the party game, which I have a host and all these people coming in and stuff. And it's amazing when you're doing comedy and things, how people get to know each other. Sometimes we'll have, you know, we've had potlucks where everybody's brought something before rehearsal or whatever. So, and I like to do, you know, off the stage type of get-togethers.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Now, which is harder, directing comedy or directing drama?
Directing comedy, without a doubt. I know there's a quote that goes around in theater about dying is easy and comedy is hard.
Yes.
Nobody knows who said that first. And I think that's very true. Comedy is hard because you can't teach someone to be funny. I mean, that, it's timing, It's, you know, it's everything that's natural. You can't make somebody laugh. You can make somebody cry. It's easy to make somebody cry. You know, think of your dog dying or something like that. But you can't get someone to be funny. You know, it's natural. I mean, you think of like Robin Williams and, you know, the best comics are also the best drama actors. You can't let it get stale. It's very tough. It's, you know, you have to think more in terms of inspiration. And I know there's that quote about it's more perspiration than inspiration. But and you have to have an intuition. You know, comedy is so elusive. You can't overthink it. And, you know, also the same style and formula that you may use in one comedy that you direct won't work a second time. It depends on the show, too. It's such a delicate balance, it's between action and reaction.
Now, you've directed a couple shows multiple times.
yes.
Is it always hard finding new comedic elements or dramatic elements, doing it a different way than you did it before? Is that hard?
Yes.
Why?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that question. Why is it hard? Because the situations and characters make it funny. And when you do it a second time, it's changed. Something that came up this summer, as you know, I got to do Mornings at 7 twice. You know, and I guess you could call that a dramedy because it's a cross between a drama and a comedy. And I had to recast so many parts, especially your part, which I was very upset about.
I'm sorry.
I know. But it was so hard, and it changed the dynamics of the show. The first time that it was done for RCLPC was totally different than the show that we presented in Elgin.
And I got the chance to see the show in Elgin, and it was just as brilliant, but in a different way.
Right, because we had different actors,
yeah.
Right, who had different perceptions. It was a different situation.
Yeah. Now, when you direct a straight show, whether comedy or drama, you have the final say on everything. But when you direct a musical, you're part of a three-headed monster, the director, the music director, and the choreographer. Which is harder for you?
I think musicals, because I don't have the ultimate say. I mean, when you're doing a straight play, it's almost like you're God, because you control everything, you know, and it's your final say. When you do a musical, you've got a musical director, you've got a choreographer. Hopefully you all agree, you know, but I've had discussions, if you want to use that word, with decisions about certain actors that we're going to be using. I think you really have to be able to communicate again honestly and freely, and hopefully, like I said, these are people that you like and respect. And the other thing is, too, I do go to rehearsals. I do go to the music rehearsals. I do go to the choreography yeah. rehearsals. I generally say, you know, let's have the first 2 weeks only music, you know, mm-hmm. and everybody would just go in and learn the music. But I'm there. You know, I don't say anything usually. I sit in the background. The same thing with choreography, and then just incorporate it with all the scenes and so forth.
Now, I do find it interesting doing like the first 2 weeks of just music or dance or music and dance, because I find it really helps me learn the dance and learn the music when I know the character.
Mm-hmm.
So that, for me, is the first thing that I tackle before I even start rehearsals, is knowing the character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. As a part of our Grow with the Pro educational series, today we are talking with accomplished theatrical director Gina Belt Daniels. Now, how important is set design to realizing a director's vision?
Extremely important. It's a visual extension of your vision. When I did It's a Wonderful Life at the Opera House, I really wanted an Art Deco set. And Barry Norton was my set designer, and he came through.
He did that.
We got a lot of criticism, though.
Really?
We did, from a board member who felt that it was too disco-y. But the audience loved it. The actors loved it. The reviewer said, you know, it was a fantastic Art Deco set design. So sometimes you have to put your foot down and just really, you know,
yeah,
believe in it and so forth.
Now, we touched on it a little earlier about production meetings. They're a very important part of the directing process. How often do you set up production meetings during the rehearsal period?
I like to have them as much as possible, just to touch base with everybody. Sometimes we'll have them like an hour, a half hour before rehearsal. Usually, traditionally, it's done like on a weekly basis. But it's very, very important. You have to make sure everybody's on the same page. You know, I've been very lucky because I've worked with some really fantastic set designers. So, yeah. And their vision has been the same as mine, which is extremely important, as I said, too. So, and also, you know, I like to have the set up as soon as possible. So having a set designer who's on the same page as me all the way back before we even start auditions and rehearsals, very important. We were lucky for Mornings at 7 that when you walked into rehearsal, most of the set had been built by Steve Connell.
Mm-hmm.
That helps the actors tremendously. You know, when I worked at the Rau, Bill Schmiel, he's an excellent set designer, too, and scenic artist. Again, he was some, I'm going to have it, you know, your first week of rehearsals. And that makes the actor so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to worry about, okay, where's this door? You know, am I going to trip on this piece of set, you know?
Yeah.
So, and the same thing happened at MCC and Moon Over Buffalo, too. So that's what I love.
Now, another integral part of the production team is the costumer.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about fostering a relationship with your costumer and making sure you have the same vision?
Boy, you get to know your costumer very, very well. Again, you know, you at your production meetings, your very first production meetings, you have to explain your vision. You have to be very clear. A lot of the costume designers that I worked with have come in with designs. And, you know, they've been very amenable to me saying yes or no or whatever. But I found, you know, again, knock on wood, that most of the costumers that I've worked with have been on the same page as I. And they've done their research, too. They know, they've read the script, they know the characters. And that is very, very important.
Now, how much time as a director do you need to make a show ready for viewing? A straight show, a comedy or a drama?
Okay, again, it depends on the show.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something like August in Osage County, like you were in, mm-hmm. Oh, boy, you need lots of rehearsal time. For me, usually 4 to 6 weeks for a straight, usually we'll do it, and then 1 week of tech before you put it on.
And then what about for a musical? Because you're dealing with so many more elements to it.
At least 8.
Yeah.
Because of all the components, especially the music and dance.
Now, you take a lot of pictures during the rehearsal process to kind of share with your actors and get so they get an idea of how their actions read. What got you started on incorporating that into your routine?
It's because I never knew what I looked like as an actor. I never knew my facials. I never knew my movements. You know, the director would say, oh, yeah, that's good. A lot of times, a lot of directors, if it's a big cast show, you know, they don't have the time to isolate you and say, oh, you know, you did such a great job. Your face was so good in this or whatever. Your facials, your physicality are good. So as an actor in rehearsal, especially if you don't have a director with a lot of feedback, it's important. And also, I think it appeals to an actor's vanity because everybody likes to have pictures of themselves, too. I don't like to do videos because, again, the actors freeze that. Okay, that worked really well. I'm just going to do that for every single performance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. Every show is different. So the pictures are still.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I like to do the close-ups of the face, as
yeah.
you know, so you can see that. And then also I catch a lot of great funny moments that I can use for blackmail.
So. Now, did you try videotape and found you didn't like it? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, I also worry about, too, with videotaping, you know, all the contractual rights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a fine line to cross, too.
Yeah.
So.
Now, what type of show do you personally gravitate towards, drama, comedy, or musical?
Again, I think I go toward the dramedies, you know, the dramedy comedies, because you have to have that comic relief. I loved Mornings at 7. It's funny because I had done that at the Opera House, but I was the stage manager.
Okay.
So that was my first introduction. And that had so many great stars of the Opera House. You know, Al Smith was in it, Judy Irwin, Gloria Carr. But I also love Ken Ludwig's comedies. I've done Moon Over Buffalo twice. I've done Leading Ladies. That's one of my very favorites. I did Lend Me a Tenor. I love On Golden Pond. I love Harvey. Again, you know, those are like more drama, but there's the comedy in it.
Barefoot in the Park, I'd throw that one
Barefoot
in there.
Barefoot in the Park was good, yeah. too. Yeah.
Now, some directors view a script as written in stone, while others like to play with the elements to make it their own. Where do you fall on that decision scale?
Again, you have to be loyal to the playwright.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you have to be mindful of contractual rights. I do like to play with the elements. I do like to look at different perspectives. And I like that, you know, I think that I have to be willing to change and to adapt. A lot of times you might have to adapt to a particular audience, the stage consideration, and so forth.
And what do you look for during the audition process?
Ooh. Ooh, that's a tough one. Oh, boy. I think I right away always look for volume and projection, because a lot of times you're going to be on a stage where there's no overhead mics or whatever. I'm very, very impressed with actors that are willing to take risks, and I find that out by doing some type of improv activity. Of course, in the back of my mind, I always think of, you know, does that actor look like the character? And I also look at the schedule that they've given me. You know, I one time had someone who came to audition for me that I absolutely loved, but they were in a production of Grease, and they could maybe come to 3 rehearsals in a month period. You know, as much as I wanted to cast that person, I couldn't.
Yeah.
So.
Now, what is the number one mistake that you feel actors make during an audition?
That they say that they will only take a certain part. You found that out with me this summer. You read for Homer. I was seriously considering you for Homer. I don't even think I had you read for David, the part.
Nope.
I cast him. Okay. And, you know, when I was scrambling and thinking of, okay, I'm going to put this actor here in this, I thought, no, you know, Ricky Lee can do that educated misfit. And he's got that look and he's got that physicality. You know, you could have done either role. But I really, really liked you as David. So, and then, you know, I laid that one on you.
I said, sure, let's
yeah,
go give
I know.
It a shot.
See, now you were willing to take a risk.
Now, what are some other common audition mistakes?
I think sometimes, you know, the actors just are not prepared. They haven't read the script. And they need to do that. They need to be aware of what the play is, what the plot is, and so forth. And I think if they're not willing to participate in improv, or they think it's stupid, or, you know, if you ask an actor to do a nursery rhyme, I don't know any, you know. And also some of them come in and they have, like, experience, and they just want to talk about, well, when I was here, when I did that, you know.
The rearview mirror approach.
Yes, yeah, and that doesn't work all the time.
Now, how should an actor properly prepare for an audition?
Absolutely read the script beforehand. Have in mind a character that you want to be, but be willing to do any character. Those are the most important things.
And if you don't find the exact right person at an audition, do you cast the best available, or do you hold off on filling the role?
Fortunately, I haven't had that problem yet. I think probably I would hold off on the casting if that happened, because I have an obligation to the audience and the playwright.
Okay. And what are your feelings on colorblind casting?
I'm getting used to it. Mm-hmm. I was mentioning to you before, I had seen the Goodman's version of Christmas Carol years and years ago, and I was very distracted because Cratchit's family was Asian and black and every other diversity possible. But you know what? Why should color or gender affect casting? So when I saw Hamilton, the acting was so exquisite, the singing was so exquisite, that I completely forgot that George Washington was a black actor, you know, or that Michael Cervantes was Hamilton, you know, a short little Hispanic guy. So I think it's really, really important.
And you have a specific song that you like to play during curtain call. What song is that?
It's Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. It's Eric Idle from Monty Python.
And what made you fall in love with that song for that purpose in a show?
I actually did it after Arsenic and Old Lace at the Woodstock Opera House, because I want people to always remember that there are good things in life. And plus, you know, Arsenic is kind of a scary, creepy, even though it's a comedy and it's a mystery and so forth. And it just was, you know, so uplifting. And then the audience started singing with it, you know, and all my actors like it. So I've just continued it for every single show.
Now, can a show be good despite having a poor director?
Yes. And it happens because of the casting choices a lot of times.
And can a show be bad in spite of having a good director?
It never should happen, because a good director wouldn't allow that. But it has happened. Yeah. But there has to be something redeeming in that show.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And how important is an actor's headshot when you're casting a show?
For me as a director, it's not that important. It does help me remember who someone is, but I really rely on my notes that I scribble all over the audition page. And then if I call an actor back, of course I see the person too.
And what do you look for when you're reading an actor's resume?
I do look at the plays that they've done. I do look at the directors that they've worked with. I like to look and see if they have any accent experience, anything else. I've had people put on that they, you know, were bakers. You know, just anything that just rounds them out as a person, too.
Thank you for tuning in to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Remember that video auditions for Huntley's Got Talent are being accepted via email at huntleyrotary@yahoo.com. The deadline is December 31st. Also, there are opportunities to get involved as assistant producer, associate producer, or executive producer on the film The New Venture, starring Blue Blood star Michael Emery. Check out the link on travoltanet.com. Again, you'll find that link at travoltanet.com. Today, we've been visiting with one of my favorite directors, Gina Belt Daniels. Be sure to tune in for future Grow with a Pro episodes of It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. If you've missed an episode, you can always listen to the podcast at huntleyradio.com. Gina, thank you so much for sharing your time and expertise.
Thank you so much, Ricky Lee.
Thank you, and let's take it home.
Feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just close your lips and whistle.